this. Thank you for this opportunity to come and just worship your name and get into your word. Father, I ask that you think of my mind, speak of my vocal cord. You know the needs of your people today, not I. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, as you can see, this is part 6. This is still a part of the Kingdom Resurgence series. On Sunday, we got into understanding the joy of the Lord. And I finished off sharing how you are God's joy. I want to talk about that a little bit more today. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. It's very important to understand that joy is more than just a feeling. It is actual power. I want to say it's the strength of our faith. You know, it's a joy that comes over us when we're believing God's word. It's one of the symptoms of faith. I taught about the symptoms of faith. Joy is a symptom of faith. You know, that's how you know you're in faith. Expectation is a symptom of faith, when you're expecting God to honor his word. Mm-hmm. But joy is there when you don't really understand, man, nothing's going right, and you're just full of joy. You know, it comes from the Lord. But more importantly, we want to talk about how you are God's joy. And as you understand that you are God's joy, it really gives you a power punch that just changes your life. So let's go ahead and get into that. So section 1 here, we're going to talk about understanding the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is entering into his joy for you. That's what it means, the joy of the Lord. As we're going to look at this in the book of Nehemiah, it is stepping into what delights God's heart for us. So that's what, it's his joy. Just like a parent, you know, our grandparent, I have especially a grandparent that enjoys seeing their children and their grandchildren in life doing well. Their great-grandchildren, some people have great-grands and great-great-grands, mm-hmm. You know, see them enjoying the toy. Our toys they received from you, it brings you great joy to see them enjoying the toys, right? Amen. Seeing them get happy. It made me think of Peaks when he got that motorcycle. Call Pawpaw, he'll get it. And then when he saw it, he just absolutely had a Holy Ghost fit. That's the way we're supposed to be. You know, thank you, Pawpaw. Thank you, Pawpaw. That's the way we're supposed to be. Amen. With our Heavenly Father. We're supposed to have great joy. Yeah. When God does for us what we desire, knowing that we can't get in our own ability. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. So praise God. So just watching them. So our Father also, he receives joy and satisfaction from us living godly and enjoying the kingdom of his dear son's love. Very important that we understand that. All right. Let's look at Nehemiah. On Sunday, I went over some information about the book of Nehemiah. But now let's just get straight into it. Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 through 3, it reads, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in an open square, in the open square that was in front of the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Israel, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear the understanding on the first day of the seventh month." Now, I talked about that Sunday. Who can hear the understanding? In the book of Revelations, Jesus said, "He that has an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches." So, you have to have an ear or a heart to hear. You know, we're living in a time where people don't want to hear sound teaching or doctrine about Jesus. They want to hear everything else. But the power of God is in what Jesus has done for us, the cross. And we have to learn to discipline ourselves to hear a good message and messages about Jesus, who we are and what we have in him. So you have to have an ear. So anyway, let's continue on here. Verse 3, it says, "And he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate." Pardon me, I got to reset my clock, make sure my time is going. correctly. Alrighty, before the men and women who could understand, that means everyone couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. And the ears of all of the people were attentive to the book of the law. So they begin to read the book of the law. Alrighty, verse 4 says, so Ezra the scribe stood on the platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. Now I'm going to skip all the names that I can pronounce. No, that I can't pronounce. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he had opened it, all the people stood up. So now you see where we get the reading or standing for the reading of the word. It is not a religious thing we do. Praise the Lord. It is not. It's how we show respect to God. And Ezra blessed the Lord and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Hallelujah. So they gave reverence to the reading of the word. Now, let's get into really what I want to look at here. In 7 through 10, it says, and the Levites, now look what this says, help the people understand the law. In the book of Psalms, it says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Mm-hmm. Understanding, that's the how to. Understanding why. Some stuff is because God says so, but there's reasons why God says things certain ways. But people need to understand the law or the scriptures, because we're under the law of faith, the covenant of faith. So you have to come to understand it in order to get results in it. Okay? And the people stood in their place, so they read distinctively from the book of the law of God. And look what it says here. It says, and they gave the sense and helped them understand the reading. In the book of Acts, Philip, the evangelist, that was a deacon. There was a man that was reading out the book in the book of Acts, and he asked him, do you understand the reading? And, you know, he said, how shall I understand? It's out of Acts chapter 8, verse 30. You know, how can I understand the reading unless a man guide me? Meaning, give me understanding or make the sense of it. It's Acts verse 8:30. So he ran and heard the man reading from the prophet of the book of Isaiah. And he asked him, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I understand unless, you know, someone guides me? So our job is to give people the understanding of what the word is saying. So if you're going to, it's just my job. If you're not getting understanding in how to apply the word to get personal results in your life, it's Thursday. You know me on Thursday. I don't feel like getting into all that today. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, look, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So I talked about how true conversion, or true repentance, brings about a change of heart, a conversion, a transformation. See, you'll weep for understanding and true repentance of sorrow. Like, wow, the Lord plucked me as a brand out the fire, and he began to share things with me. And he specifically told me, go teach. He said, the love that you were looking for is in my son, Jesus. You didn't have, I want to say it the way he said it to me. Your faith had no substance. And I was like, man, I didn't understand what the Lord was saying to me. I had, and so he began to teach me. The Holy Spirit began to teach me the word of faith concerning Jesus. And he began to share with me how the word of faith, teaching and building people up in Jesus, is not being taught in most, in a lot of churches in America. So Jesus is the substance of our faith. Our faith is about him. And if you don't understand who you are and what you have in Jesus, you're being robbed and cheated of your salvation. Believing in God, yes, but God wants you to have faith in Jesus. He wants you to have faith in that name. And we live by what Jesus has done for us. And so, it brought an understanding in my heart. That's why I am the way. Now, it's like I'm not changing the assignment that he's given me because I know it's very vital. And I'm telling you, you start hearing a good, rich teaching about Jesus, you'll realize, you'll go, what was I believing? Whoa, what was going on here? The enemy doesn't want you to know who Jesus is. He doesn't want you to know who you are in Jesus. And so he told them, go your way and eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions of those whom nothing is prepared. And then he says, for this day is holy to the Lord. To the Lord. A holy day to the Lord is when we're understanding our redemptive sacrifice, the blood of Jesus, our redemption. When we understand what Jesus has done for us, when we understand our redemption, I'm saying the same thing because you got to understand this. When you get a deep understanding of really what Jesus has done for you, not just flapping your gums, you know, I mean a heart understanding of, whoa, when you understand what you were saved from and into and through Christ Jesus, that's when everything changes. And he says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy. So understanding Jesus said, learn of me, meaning not of Larry, learn of Jesus. Uh-huh. You're supposed to be learning of Jesus. So when you come to understand the truth of who you are and what you have in Jesus, man, everything changes. You shift from religion to relationship because Jesus brings you into a relationship with God and you don't have church as usual. You're not religious. And so, the three key takeaways that we talked about on Sunday, I want to reiterate those. One, it was the teaching of the word in verses 7 and 8. It says the Levites, they help the people understand. Come on, man. How many people go to church that don't understand? I remember the time that my wife was teaching and a young lady was like, I actually understood. This was a member of our family. I actually understood what you were saying. Yes, because we're teaching the word where you can understand it and apply it in your life. That's when it works. The word was read clearly and explained so that everyone could grasp the meaning for the purpose of doing it.
Yes.
We're supposed to do the word. Most people are not doing the word because they don't really understand how to do it. Okay, second thing is conviction. True conviction brings comfort. The people wept when they heard the word. They were convicted. Convicted. Conviction brings comfort. It also brings change. A change of heart. A change of ways. So when people are going to church and nothing's changing, it's because they don't understand salvation. They really don't understand it. True salvation brings change to a person, for real. You'll never go back to the world. You'll never go back to Satan once you really understand Jesus, for real. And you can tell people don't know Jesus because you can tell I can tell by how little Jesus comes out their mouth. Something I was saying, you know, if you can't explain your salvation to people, you don't know your salvation. And when I say, I said it Sunday, it's a personal salvation. Can you explain personally your salvation? What has he personally delivered you from?
Yeah.
What is he, has he personally changed you from with a scripture? What scripture has changed your life? I said scripture. See, the word becomes flesh, reality on the inside of your heart. There's a circumcision. There's a change that takes place. I'm not judging anyone. I am being honest. There's a change that takes place when you understand your salvation and you walk in being a saved person for real. There's a change in you. And it ain't just, you know. The third thing is celebration of strength. There's celebration and there's strength. What's that? The celebration is you're happy about being saved. I'm happy about being saved. I got these confessions I do. I just get up every morning. For the most part, when I go to work, I'm at work and I have my Thanksgiving confessions in my ear, and I just, you know, say them along as I'm working and cleaning the floors. Thanking God for Jesus. I thank the Father for Jesus. When someone gives you a gift, what do? You say thank you. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. So I'm always saying thank you. Thank you, Father God. I worship you in spirit and truth. Jesus is truth. I thank you for saving me. I thank you that your word has redeemed me. You redeemed me with your word. I thank you for your covenant of love. You have a covenant with the backslider. Thank you, Father God. I mean, thank God that's in there, because some people had already throw folks away. That's that religious thing, because you don't really know the depths of Satan and you don't understand how people can be in church and really not understand their salvation and don't have a relationship with their Savior. A lot of people go to church right now. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. They don't read the scriptures. They don't understand the scriptures. It is our job to explain the scriptures to you, to form Christ Jesus in you, so that you can have an inner relationship with him on the inside of you. You hear what I just said? An inner relationship.
Yeah.
When Jesus talks, when the Holy Spirit talks, he speaks scripture to you. But if you don't read your Bible, it's hard for him to speak a scripture to you, because he knows you have no point of reference in your mind. Okay. All right, let's move on. Second thing I want to talk about is what Jesus has done for you is God's joy for you. What Jesus has done for you is God's joy for you. What's the joy of the Lord? Jesus is the joy of the Lord. Jesus is the joy of the Lord. He wants you to enter into the rest that Jesus has provided for you. Glory to God. God has provided all your needs. Read the Bible. How? By Christ Jesus. Not by your job. Not by Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. All things that pertain to life and godliness has been provided in Christ Jesus. Everything that you need. Hallelujah. So joy is having a deep, deep understanding of your personal salvation and the power of God's love towards you. When you know how much God loves you, everything he did, everything Jesus did for you was the manifestation of God's love for you. And so we're born out of the love of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a love connection. Covenant is about love. Mm-hmm. God loves you. I was talking to one of the sisters today at work, and she was talking about her. They're, you know, Catholics, and they were talking about she was just sharing some things. And she was talking about how people think that Catholics pray to Mary and this, that, and the other. And I just listen. I don't mess with people's faith, their belief. That's their business. But anyway, she was talking about how the convent that they had established. I don't know all the big words, how they explain it. Religion uses a lot of big words that ain't in the Bible. So I was kind of lost. But she made the statement that back then, people did believe God was a good God. And so they was teaching that God was a good God. And she was just talking about that. She was like, you know, people saw God as all powerful, all great, almighty. But he was mean and he was tough and he was hard. And if you get things wrong, he would destroy you. And I was just listening. And I said, you know, yeah, he's a good God. But he has spiritual boundaries. He wants us to operate within this goodness. And he's not, what happens is people get outside the boundaries of his goodness. And then the curse falls on them. Darkness. You're on the devil's territory. So we live godly for one reason. See, don't get deep in spiritual. We live godly so it'll go well with us. That's it. I want things to go well with me, so I live godly. I don't beat myself up over stuff. I just, that's why I live godly. There's certain things I don't do anymore. Why? Because I want it to go well with me. It ain't rocket science. And ain't nothing to get deep and religious about. Wear a bunch of collars and chains and act like you're holy. No. I'm holy because he's holy. He made me holy. Oh, yeah. We're going to tear that thing down, man. We're going to tear that thing down. And so anyway, it says, let me finish reading what I got here. They are filled with joy of reconciliation. You've been reconciled back to God. Joy for your redemption and your restored relationship with God. You have a restored relationship with God. Seeing God as their loving Father that they have. That they don't have to please. So you don't have to please God. He's not this God that you have to appease and do all these certain things to get him pleased. No, your faith in Jesus is what pleases God. That's what brings joy to his heart. You're receiving the gift of Jesus. He gave you Jesus and he wants people to receive all that Jesus has done for them. And he loves you. If you're sick, he'll help. He'll heal you. Mm-hmm. Now, religion won't teach you that because, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't want to get into that. But he does it because he loves. You know, they want to argue about sovereignty. You know, I don't feel like doing all that. God says he loves us. Love don't want you sick. In fact, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the Syrophoenician. It was the Syrophoenician woman that came and asked Jesus to heal her daughter. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. It wasn't her time. He says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Healing bread. Look at this. Says, healing is the children's bread. Listen to what Jesus said. Healing is the children's bread. Are we not children of God?
Yes.
Do we not have a better covenant? Yes. Is not the blood of Jesus a better covenant than the old covenant? According to the Bible. Then listen, why would people argue about that? What's the problem? You don't believe it. And just, it's okay. Say, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm not sure if I believe this. Help my unbelief.
Amen.
And he'll start helping you. No need to argue about it. And you know, but, you know, some people want to do that. I ain't doing it. Because he's a loving Father. Jesus is the embodiment of God's joy. He is the reason heaven rejoices. He is the fulfillment of the Father's heart and the source of our strength. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Father's heart towards creation and all of humanity. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Key, whoever believes on him. Those people that don't are already condemned, so he's not trying to condemn people. They're already in condemnation. He's trying to get condemnation off of them. Come to the light. And like I always share, people that want to live right, come to the light. They, you know, people that don't, don't. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense, it says death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace. You see that? The abundance of grace and the gift. Look at that. Gift of righteousness. See, when you received Jesus, you became righteous. It was a gift. Your righteousness is a gift. God declares you righteous. Why? Because you believe in Jesus. What about all the problems I'm going through? Hey, don't worry about that. I'm the righteousness of God. Now you feed on the word. And as you meditate on who you are in Jesus, meditation brings about transformation. So the reason people struggle with their sin life is because they don't meditate on their new life, which is Jesus. Meditate on who you are in Jesus. It says, acknowledge every good thing that is in you, that is in Christ. That's your confession. Your confession. The word confession means to say the same thing. Homologian or something like that is how they pronounce it. But it means to say this. I guess I got close to pronounce it. But it means to say the same thing. It means to say who you are in Jesus. It means to say what Jesus has done for you. That's your confession. Hold fast to the confession of what you believe about Jesus. Hold fast. Say it with your mouth. It's like if you was on if it was a trial. And they put you on trial. And the prosecuting attorney is examining you, trying to get you to twist your words up, to deny Jesus, to deny your faith. Oh, you got pain in your body. The pain is trying to get you to deny that by his stripes you were healed. And you got to say, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm standing and I'm believing on what the word of God says. I am and I have. By his stripes, I am healed. Now, what do? Nothing. It's God's job to get the manifestation in your life. It's your job to hold fast to your faith and continue to say you believe. That's why the trying of your faith is precious to him. God ain't trying your faith. The devil's trying your faith. And as you keep your mouth in line with what Jesus has done for you, no matter how you feel and what you see. And I know it's not easy. It's hard on the flesh. It's hard on the flesh to stand by faith. See, the flesh can't glory when when it's about God's story. Glory to God. That's that come from the Holy Ghost. See, no flesh gets no glory. All right. So what Jesus has done for you is God's joy for you. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus who is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the perfecter of our faith. And it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See that word? For the joy that was set before him. The joy was our salvation. Mm-hmm. It was all about, he did it all for us. We were his joy. He saw Larry, Tony, and whoever else being saved. Coming back from a backslidden state. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So now he has all the authority and the power. And so he now continues to fight for our righteousness. He fights for our salvation. He fights. Jesus himself enforces the spiritual law of what his blood did, of reconciliation. You know, we also are supposed to share reconciliation, but he fights through ours, through our love. He loves people through us as we pray for other people. I don't know, the other day, I got off work and I had a spirit of intercession that just dropped on me. And I'm praying in the spirit. Like, God, you praying for somebody. Tears started welling up in my eyes. See what I'm saying? It is selfish for you not to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit also prays through. There's a great mystery. I want to pull back on that because I don't want to hurt my feelings. It's a great mystery. See, the Holy Spirit will pray through you to pray for someone else. Amen. See, Jesus is interceding from heaven. Are you going to get some rhema today, some revelation? Jesus can't pray for my position as a man in the earth with blood. Because his blood has been shed on the mercy seat. He has a glorified body. So he prays through us to get things to happen in the earth, because a man in the earth has to pray to God to get God to move from heaven. Now, I know people are like, whoa, what you talking about? I am talking about revelation knowledge about who you are. And when you get an understanding that, everything begins to change. That's why you overlook people that don't know. What are you doing? Yeah, you're still a baby. You're still fighting over elementary things. And God says you will go past them if he permits. He doesn't permit it because you won't grow up. When you know who you are, you just ignore people that don't know. But you're required to walk by what you know. There's things I know that I'm required to walk by. All right. Anyway. Well, just like in the natural, you expect your older child to behave different than a younger child, don't you? All right. It's the same with God's people. As we mature, he teaches us certain things. Oh, boy. Yeah. Alrighty. As you come to know certain things, he requires you to walk in those things. Luke 15, 7, it says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Oh, you thought, who you? Okay, every word ain't for you and it ain't directed towards you. Grow up. It's for somebody else, maybe. People take offense. I'm tired of hearing that. I'm tired of hearing that. Everything ain't for you, baby. Grow up. We're saving. We're trying to reach that person that ain't been reached yet. Just say amen. Now, if you're crying about it, then maybe he talking to you for real. I'm just saying. But this was about how they was, you know, seeking the sheep. You know, Jesus was using this analogy. But what I want you to see here is how he says that there's joy. The word I want to look at, we're focusing on joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Mm-hmm. You know, heaven had a field day when we gave our life back to the Lord. Oh, man, they flat out, I know they had a party. Hallelujah, glory to God. All right. Look at Zephaniah. Look at this. This is a powerful, powerful. Zephaniah, Zephaniah. Glory to God. 3:17, it says, the Lord your God is in your midst. Look at this. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. You see this? This is God. This is our Father. He says, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You ever had, I remember our kids when they were little babies, you know, I remember all of them, but, you know, I remember my first boy, especially my first son, David, and I'm just looking at him and just praying over him and praising God and just speaking things over him. My other little girls and stuff like that, you know, you sing to them. And you know, if you ever sung to a baby, and you see them look at you and smile back, it's like their spirit knows that you're ministering to them. That's what God does to us. A lot of times, I found myself, remember the Bible says, speak to yourselves in songs and spiritual songs. Uh-huh. So a lot of times you'll get a song in your spirit by the Holy Spirit you never heard before. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. I mean, just something to just make up, and you just flowing that thing in the spirit. What's happening? Actually, the Lord is singing through you. He's singing over you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You'll get it. You, this is real. But it's a relationship thing. The more intimate, I want to say, the more relational you be, relationship minded you become, the more intimate you become with the Lord. And I'm not talking about this male female intimacy. I'm talking about father son, daughter son, communication with the Father, with the Holy Spirit speaking to you and through you, and you talking back to God. You know, fellowshipping with God is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. He'll talk back to you. He has jokes. The Holy Spirit has jokes. Jesus has jokes. Jesus has teased me before. It's like that. I remember one time, I was a little frustrated with some things. Remember, I was frustrated I was frustrated with my wife. I wanted to spend time with my wife. And my wife's busy, you know, she takes care of mom or she got the grandkids. It's like, Lord, it's like, man, I was just frustrated that day. And let me tell you how good the Lord was. The Lord knew I was frustrated. I went to my house, I sat down, and then he spoke to me about a revelation that I asked him a few years ago. Maybe a few years or a few months ago. And I started looking at that. I said, oh, yeah, Lord. And I'm starting to get into the word. I said, oh, God, I'm getting happy about this truth, right? And then I stopped. I said, Lord, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. You redirected me because he know I love the word. So he redirected me in the word to get my mind off of something that I was frustrated about. Glory to God. You better understand this is real. He's a real God that will talk to you. Now, if you ain't never heard him talk to you and you... Well, I don't know. I ain't trying. Anyway. You might be religious. Look at this in the Amplified version. And the Lord your God is in the midst, a warrior who saves. Glory to God. See what I'm saying? I told you, he's fighting for you. Right now, wait, why are y'all standing there? Because the Spirit of the Lord is fighting for souls to come out of the world and get into a place where they're going to be taught about Jesus. It's a spiritual battle taking place. We don't see it, but angels are fighting for people to come here. That's why you got to be patient. He needs your faith. Your faith gives the angels fuel. Glory to God. Our faith gives them fuel. What? They hearken. They get strength. When we speak the word and pray the word and pray salvation over people, pray healing and deliverance for families. Glory to God. Healing for people, for backsliders. They excel in strength. Glory to God. Man. Whew, glory to God. We're getting something. Man, this is a good ministry.
Amen.
This is a good ministry. Sorry, I'm just so much I want people to learn. He is a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. Glory to God. You still looking at somebody else and judging somebody else for the past mistakes they made. You are part of the enemy. You are on team the devil. You are on the prosecuting attorney's witness list. You are judging people. God is like, no, I'm not mentioning of your past. I will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Did you see that? So we are the joy of the Lord. We are his joy. That's what gives me joy, as I got a revelation of how much God really loved me and who he. I don't have to earn love. You can't earn love. You can't earn love. That's why you can't earn your salvation. Salvation is about his love. To redeem you from the hand of the enemy. Sin wasn't your fault. Wasn't my fault. We were born into sin. Shaped in iniquity. Oh man, get free from religion and you'll get a relationship. And your entire faith life changes. It changes. Glory to God. And he translates you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son's love. And now he's like, learn how to live from the kingdom within. That's why you have peace when the world's freaking out. I don't care about what Trump's doing. I used to always be on Facebook talking about Trump and this, that, and the other, and debating racism and all that. No, man, you don't know who you are. You ain't got a revelation that King lives on the inside of you. Huh? You ain't got a revelation of your royalty. Glory to God. So, we are God's bundle of joy. Now you must learn not to think beyond what is written. You must train your heart, mind, and mouth to stay in alignment with what you are and all you have in Jesus. You do that by getting into the word, meditating, and feeding at the master's table, getting a good, rich diet of the word about Jesus. Who you are and what you have. That's my assignment. Who you are and what you have in Jesus. That's what you put your faith in, and God begins to manifest it in your life. It's all about Jesus. It's a done did gospel. It's what Jesus done did for you. That's the good news. You're not hearing the good news if you're not hearing about Jesus. You're not hearing the good news if you're not hearing about who you are and what you have in Jesus. Your faith must be anchored in him. Anchored in what he's done for you. Anchored in what you have in him. I'm not talking about all that other goofy stuff that people preach. I'm talking about really understanding the victory that Jesus has provided for you. You walk in the footsteps of his victory. Glory to God. We walk in the footsteps of his victory. That's the gospel that people ain't preaching. Glory to God. Man, I want to get happy today. Hard not to get happy when you got truth. You must absolutely refuse to listen to preaching that does not glorify the Lordship of Jesus Christ or affirm who you are in the eyes of God because of his blood. I got to read that again. You must You must absolutely refuse to listen to preaching that does not glorify the Lordship of Jesus Christ or affirm who you are in the eyes of God because of the blood. Walking around with false humility. False humility. Silly stuff I be seeing. Let me stop it. Man, I'm trying. I'm doing good. We about to wrap up. You got to reject religious, reject being religion, or religious, that's what it should say, and embrace relationship. Reject religion and embrace relationship. It should be religion. Faith is about your relationship. Faith is about our relationship as God's child. Faith is about our relationship as God's child. He says that unless you become like these little ones and receive the kingdom as a child, you can no ways enter in. You got to receive it as a child. What does that mean? A child is dependent on its parent. So we're totally dependent on God's love. We're totally dependent on God's mercy. We're totally dependent on God's grace. We find ourselves in this world and we need his help. Things come up in life that we have no control over. And when he reaches down from heaven and manifests his love to us, that's why he heals us. That's when miracles happen. That's when things happen. Signs and wonders. It's a manifestation of his love for us. And he begins to distinguish us between the people of the world. We're supposed to be so blessed that the world wants to come to the church. Instead, the church wants to be like the world. We are not a part of the world. And we got to stop trying to be friends with the world. Tell the world the truth. They are in darkness. And you know, everybody that's preaching God is not talking about God. And God bless me. Is not talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He does not bless sinners. He reigns on the just and the unjust. That's right. It's raining outside. It's raining on sinners and non-sinners too. Why? Because it's natural rain. If they got a garden in the back, their garden's going to have the same garden. We're talking about the blessing of supernatural manifestations that supersedes natural things. Mm-hmm. Going to places and getting things that we know that our money can't buy. Glory to God. Glory to God. You better hear me. See, we got to start believing this. If you don't start believing in his love for you, you will never see the manifestation of it for you. You'll never see the manifestations of it. Religion will talk you out of the manifestations of his love in your life. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. They driving in your car. They're sitting in your seat. They got your job. God's trying to give you the job. Why? Because when the righteous are in authority, the city rejoices. That's what these men are preaching when they say the wealth transfer. They're trying to get you to stop judging it and shut up and understand that God is trying to vindicate you in the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. But instead, you want to talk about it. Judge, nitpick, fault find. But those people that say, okay, Lord, I receive, I believe, you're going to start rising to the top in Jesus' name. You're going to start rising to the top in Jesus' name. Why? Because God wants to model you as the blessing of his love. Yeah. You're going to be modeling the blessing. Woo, glory to God. You're going to be modeling the blessing. Glory to God. People are supposed to see you distinguished and different. You're a child of God. And sinners are supposed to have respect for you. But they ain't got no respect for you because you are hypocritical because you're trying to win the world the world's way. We don't have to, you don't hate people to win them. You tell them the truth in love. And you say, hey, I don't roll like that no more. Why? Because I want it to go well with me. I ain't getting out of the garden of God's goodness and love. I ain't leaving the garden of God's goodness and love no more. You going out there and running them motorcycles this way and that way. I'm staying in the garden of God's goodness and love. Mm-hmm. I'm abiding in him. Let me finish this here. Joy comes from knowing, like you got to learn. See, you'll start celebrating your identity. Whew. Joy comes from knowing you are righteous, accepted, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to succeed in life. Celebration. So you got to celebrate your salvation daily. Celebrate your salvation daily. That's what I was talking about. I get up, Lord, I thank you. I get up, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you for Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his blood. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I thank you for Jesus. All right. I thank him for Jesus. I'm going to my confessions here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank him for Jesus. My personal confessions. Hallelujah. All right, so guard your heart. You got to guard your heart. That's what Nehemiah was, the walls was about guarding, is symbolic of guarding the walls of your heart, your mind, your ear, things of that nature. I don't look at a lot of TV, but when I do, it's always something on there, and it's, you know, I'm trying to watch it, it's a good thing, and all of a sudden they got to have something provocative. I don't need to see all that stuff. Well, that won't hurt you. No, man. Yeah, it will. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You wonder why you struggling with nasty thoughts all day, because the enemy trying to get in your heart.
Yeah.
And usually when the enemy start got you thinking negative about someone or whatever, perversion or whatever, the enemy is trying to get in your heart because there's a blessing coming your way. But you better learn to understand. So anyway, let me finish this here. So don't let emotionalism or intellectualism distract you from the simplicity of the gospel. You are his bundle of joy. Just as a newborn is called a bundle of joy, believers are God's delight, and you're his bundle of joy. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. That joy is you. Remember that. He did it for you. He saw you coming into the Father's arms, being restored. So I was telling you, as we go home, I have these I have confessions that I do that personally, and here are some of them. I say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, your perfect gift of love and redemption. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to rescue me and redeem me of what I could not do. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the name of Jesus, which saves, heals, and delivers. Heavenly Father, I thank you for revealing your heart through the life of your Son. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, who bore my shame and gave me his righteousness. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus, which speaks mercy and judgment over me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your cross. I thank you for Jesus' cross. I love where your love triumphed and the grace was poured out to me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the resurrection of Jesus, my victory, my hope, my future. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the authority I carry through the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Spirit of Jesus that lives in me and guides me daily. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus who intercedes for me now and forevermore. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I mean, I just flow with that thing, man. We just get in that thing and we flow. And we begin to confess our thank yous to Jesus, to God for Jesus. I thank him for the gift. He's a great God. I love him very much because he's redeemed me. His covenant of mercy. Amen. Well, I'm done for the night. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. I pray that whoever listens has been blessed by it, and whoever listens be blessed. I ask you to continue to help your people, Father, have a deeper, more intimate and personal relationship with you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.